On this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Tie, Anime Web Turnpike is shut down. Convention calamities happened this last 2 weeks all across the nation. Star Wars Episode 7 gets a subtitle. The DC Carnival of Sadness keeps on spinning. We mourn the passing of TV legend Glenn Larson. And we talk about what we're going to be doing at DaishoCon next week. And welcome to Nerd and Tie. You're the only podcast on the internet with a dress code. I am one of your hosts, Firsters. And with me are the capybara-loving Nikizumi.
I am unstoppable, except if there's pie.
And the no longer in a tire store, Trey Dorn.
Oh my god, I lived there for a while.
was it like, okay. What circle of hell would you relate it to the most?
So here's the thing. So my tires on my car, I've needed to replace for a little while. And what happened was is that I scheduled an appointment with this tire store because I didn't want to like wait. But they were running 2 hours behind. 2 hours behind. So what happened was is that like I got there and I just got really bored. And it's this weird moment where you're waiting for something. Like my car is sitting outside the window. I can see that my car is not being worked on. And I've scheduled this appointment so I do not have to sit there. But like after the first hour, you run out of things to check on the internet on a Saturday. Because nothing updates on a Saturday. So you
it is pretty much the day
and
for the internet.
I ran out of things to do in my game of The Sims, and
maybe I should just start uploading videos on Saturdays, just because I will have no competition.
No one will watch them. No one updates on Saturday because no one watches on Saturdays.
True.
So what happened was is that I started posting random things about living in the tire store because
it was a good time.
It seemed appropriate.
No.
Yeah.
No, this episode, the Clash almost had a song about that. this Fortnite's episode of Nerd and Tie starts for us a 3 week stretch of shows, which we haven't done since our Guardians of the Galaxy special, if I'm not mistaken.
At least we're not nuts like our 5 week marathon that we did back.
Man,
you got to take a week off from that.
I did.
Because of your boycott of Bryan Singer.
Pretty much. But we've got a lot going on in the next 3 weeks and a lot going on this week that we're going to get talking about. Now, Trey, our top story tonight, our lead story tonight is something that
you know nothing about?
I know nothing about because I showed up kind of late to the anime game.
No, because you're young.
Because I'm also young.
So this whole episode is a downer. Like I'm just gonna say, like I'm warning you guys ahead of time. This whole episode's a downer. Being bored in a tire store might be your highlight. There's a couple other stuff that aren't terrible, but most of this episode is depressing. And we're gonna start out with our first depressing story that Anime Web Turnpike, established in 1995, the original massive anime site on the internet, has closed its doors.
Super sadness.
Anapike.com is no longer online. And it's 19 years on the internet. It's just gone-ski. You know, and it's the Anime Web Turnpike started out as just kind of like, because back in the day you didn't have Google. There was just like, it was a directory site of exclusively all the anime sites the creator of it could find. And that's where it started. And so, in the late 90s, in the mid to late 90s, that was the place you went for any kind of anime content on the internet. That's where you had – that's how you found it.
That was where I started researching Gundam.
Yeah.
I remember when I first would go on there. It was –
yeah. And so –
it was really intense.
Yeah, so it's sad to see it go, but part of me is also like, when's the last time I went to anapike.com?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those websites where I think it's kind of like Dig, where people know it exists, but nobody goes there anymore.
I'm sorry, Nick, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I remember, I think I checked in on it a couple of years back, because sometimes I'll do that. I'll just check on sites that I used to compulsively check every day, because... that's how sad my life sometimes gets. But I feel like the last time I looked at it, they hadn't updated in a very long time.
No, not since, like, there hasn't been a major update since, like, 2006.
So like, when I went there, like, it was really weird because it was this weird, it was almost a time capsule where, like, Gundam Wing was still the biggest thing ever, and, like, someone was still campaigning to get that last season of Sailor Moon on Cartoon Network. It was kind of amazing.
Reminds me of this Onion article from a few years back. It was Internet Archaeologists Uncover GeoCities.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, on the one hand, I feel bad to lose this piece of our history, but on the other hand, it really doesn't have a purpose anymore.
It was cool when it was a thing, but I mean, even anime websites, like sites devoted to one series, like, there are so few of the,
websites in the 90s were so different, because yeah, what you had was, like, fandom sites that would be like a bunch of screen grabs from episodes, and, like, you'd be lucky if you found a site that had, like, episode synopsis. Usually it would just be, like, some character galleries, an animated GIF of, like, Ryoga bouncing or something, and, like...
And if you were willing to wait 4 hours, you could download one of the opening animations and watch it over and over again.
Oh, my God! So this is the real thing that happened. In 1996, I downloaded the Ranma 1/2, like, first opening, the Yapapa opening, on a 14.4 modem. It took a day and a half for this little QuickTime video of it. I seriously did that.
No, I believe you, because, I mean, anime fandom was so much different, because, I mean, even when you go back to when we had dial-up, actual episode summaries and things like that were a lot more necessary.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't necessarily be able to find every volume of every episode.
Oh, yeah, or, no, it's, you might find, like, volume 6 randomly at the store, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Or in fan subs, fan subbers would quit and the new ones would start up, and maybe they'd take over from a point where a previous fan subber had been working on the series. And this is back when fan subs were done by guys, you know, who would... See, fan subbing, what used to do is the fan subbers would import the laserdisc of the episode if they were lucky, or they'd get a VHS recording off a TV. Then they'd take something like a video toaster or an old Amiga and put the subtitles on, and then they'd make their master VHS, which was... they make a limited number of master VHSs that would be the, like, first generation off the Laserdisc. And then those would get copied, and copies would be made off of those quote-unquote masters. And those would go out to... People would sponsor fan subs. This is your archaeology. Where, what, like, groups, like, fan clubs would, like, pay these fan subbers, like, $50 to cover distribution costs and importing. And then they'd get if you sponsored it, you'd get a copy of the master yourself. You'd get your own master tape. Otaku Anonymous did do that for the Excel Saga fan subs done by Slow as Hell Anime, which is why Eau Claire, Wisconsin is mentioned in the most common Excel Saga fan subs and in the official ADV release in the credits in one episode. Eau Claire, Wisconsin got mentioned because Tiffany Grant was at No Brand Con while they were typing up the credits for one episode release. But, like, all that stuff, like, so then you would, like, order fan subs where you would, could either, like, send them a VHS tape, or you would pay them, like, enough money to, quote unquote, cover the cost of the VHS tape they dubbed it onto. And then they'd send it back to you. And that's why, like, this whole, like, tape culture. But that's why, like, you'd also get, like, people who would buy the tape from the fan subber would then make copies themselves to give to other people. So then you'd end up with, like, 4th generation off the master, 10th generation off the master fan subs floating around different club, like, libraries. And it's just, like... Because you couldn't distribute video on the internet reliably. You know, so this was the circulating tapes like this was the, and that's why piracy back then was beneficial because that's how people built hype about the series, where now you can get something DVD, like, but you'd be watching like a fifth generation VHS tape, so you'd go buy the official release once it came out.
That's why the official battle cry of Mystery Science 3000 fans for years was keep circulating the tapes.
Right. And so, but that's why piracy then was beneficial. Piracy now, where people who pirate stuff don't go buy the... Everybody who pirated back then almost always bought the stuff. Now it doesn't. And so now it's damaging to the industry. And now that you get like versions that are as good as the official release.
I was about to say, now it's even... The fact that there are still anime pirates now drives me up the damn wall when you look at like Hulu, where you can literally watch shows that are airing in Japan right now for free.
Yeah.
And the fact that people are still going to fan subbers, knock it the hell off.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to get on my soapbox for this segment, but holy shit, guys.
But the world that anime Web Turnpike was that world though, where like you'd get like fan subber pages and like, you know, also, you know, like, you know, let's go to the Ranma 2096. I haven't told you guys. You know how I told you I wrote Ranma 1/2 fanfic?
Who could forget?
I wrote it in continuity with someone else's fanfic, Ranma 2096. I have searched and verified.
I didn't think that could get better, but it did.
I have searched and verified that the fanfic I wrote does not exist on the internet. I have checked.
Someone's got to have it.
But there's a wiki that lists me under my birth name as the author of an installment, the Ranma 1/2 fanfic wiki.
Incredible.
Oh, the fact that there even is a Ranma 1/2 fanfic wiki kind of is breaking me right now.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
See, that was actually one of my earliest exposures to what fan subs were like going through Anapike, and when I was like, had just discovered Robotech, finding this site that was like, hey, if you send us VHS tapes and a couple dollars, we'll give you episodes of Macross 7. What the hell is Macross 7?
I hate to interrupt, but I want to point out that I in searching for the Ranma 1/2 fanfiction wiki, to give you an idea of how old Ranma 1/2 is, like you type in Ranma 1/2 fanfiction, and the first Google suggestion has the word lemon in it.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
I'm sorry.
Just to give you the idea of how old it is.
And all of our viewers who, you know, are under a certain age are going to be like, what the hell do lemons
mean? What does that even mean? I don't know.
You know, it was amazing to me. Like, I'd been out of fanfics for so long that, like, when I started being exposed to, like, running across fanfic sites years later, that, like, when I found out that, I was like, oh, this looks harmless. It's not labeled as lemon or anything. And then I opened it up and found horrible pornographic things that mostly I just don't need to see Weasley family incest.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying that there's a reason why I stopped talking to that person on OkCupid. But this is a long time ago. This is before I met my wife.
Who did not write inappropriate fanfic.
She did write fanfic. She wrote non-pornographic fanfic. And Krista wrote Stargate Atlantis fanfic, which is also on the internet. And occasionally new people subscribe to her on like fanfic.net or whatever. And she keeps like going like, I'm not writing that. I haven't written any of that for like 8 years.
Wow. I remember when Stargate Atlantis was new. I feel old.
Oh, yeah. I remember writing Ranma 1/2 fanfic. I feel old.
Well, this has been a delightful
tromp through memory lane. And we are sad. We will miss you, Anapike, even though we abandoned you. Like
pour out a bottle of Ramune for Anime Web Turnpike. Do it now.
That was funnier than it could have been. The next segments won't be sad.
Well, you say that, but this is really our next segment is really not so much a not much sad. It's a why don't we start calling this segment "Don't Do That"? Can we do that? Like let's introduce a new segment that I'm going to call Don't Do That, where we look at things that have been done wrong in certain aspects, particularly in the con scene. Starting off, we have two entries in this week's or in this Fortnite's Don't Do That. The first one,
stop it.
Just stop that. Rhode Island Comic Con happened the weekend of November November 1st and 2nd.
Yeah, it's just and, a two-day con
over that weekend. And to say it was a bit of a mess is a bit of an understatement. The venue where they are at, Rhode Island, of course, being the smallest state, and therefore you can pretty much like run across it in the span of about 2 hours. it was only able to hold 17,000 people. That is what the fire code says. Seems simple enough, right? 17,000 people. Oh, well, that's a pretty good, decent attendance number. We're going to hit that. Any normal, well-learned convention would know that at that point, that's probably about time to stop selling pre-registrations, or registrations, rather. Well, not Rhode Island Comic Con, who sold well over 20,000 registrations long after they should have stopped selling them. Yes, they've put in more than 3,000 people more than what their venue was able to hold, and this having the fire marshals actually had to come in and stop people from coming into the building.
Yeah, they shut down the event.
It got canned because they kept bringing people in.
I should say they didn't shut down the event. People, the event kept going. That's the amazing thing. And they just, but as people stepped out to like go to the bathroom or things like that, they were disallowed a re-entry.
Wow.
It's freaking crazy.
Which, now I've never myself been to a 17,000 person con, but I imagine that's got to be pretty cramped. So I can only imagine what adding more than 3,000 more people to a 17,000 person venue would be like.
But it had to have been pretty stuffed in there. And it's not a good idea.
It had to have been absolutely stuffed in there.
Yeah.
Anyways. They've
cosplay photography. It could actually kill someone.
See, here's the thing: is that like attendance capping is important. You know, you need to know what your venue can support, and then you just stop selling tickets at that point. How is it like? You know, people like Anime Detour can figure this out immediately, and you know they've done a really good job with that. But you know, these guys are like, oh, duh, I know that you know how many you sell. You stop when you can't sell anymore. Not hard.
So, Rhode Island Comic Con, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
Stop it.
Knock that shit off. But, so they're going to be back at it again next year. Probably with an attendance cap, because attendance caps are important. They're there for a reason. I mean, I know on the article on the website, nerdandtie.com, our companion website to the podcast, Anime Detour was mentioned, which just started selling their hotel rooms this last weekend and promptly sold out because they know how many people they can hold and they know how much they can hold to make exactly a fun event. And that's what's important, is to say, you know, maybe...
That's why I just mentioned Anime Detour 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. I was reiterating. But, I mean, looking at what Rhode Island Comic Con can do, I mean, if the venue can hold 17,000 people, why not even cap it less than what it can hold? You would think that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Nope, Sardine Con. It's happening. Let's do this.
But, now, moving on.
Is someone, like, falling down some stairs out there?
I don't think I am.
No, I'm not falling down any stairs. Huh. Anyways,
we're getting some weird audio noise, folks, that I don't know what's causing it and don't really care, but I'm apologizing for it anyways.
As long as they can hear us and understand us, that's okay. Now on to more con stuff, which may not necessarily be a part of the Don't Do That segment, but we've been talking and following this story quite a bit. Of course, back in August or June, it was announced that AwesomeCon would be coming to Milwaukee.
Say what?
that they would be taking place November 21st to the 23rd, which would have been next weekend as of the recording of this podcast, which in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now,
we didn't do anything about that, though. We had no involvement in that at all. No, oh, wait.
But we followed this story very closely.
Also conflicted with an established convention in the area.
And that was what our big follow-up was that, hey, this is conflicting with this event. Let's see what happens. Well, rather than move the event or whatnot, things started to kind of take a turn for the worst when at AwesomeCon Indianapolis, the show that was that took place, I would say, a month ago, Trey?
Yeah, it was in October.
It was about a month ago. Far fewer people showed up than what they were expecting. They'd been kind of promoting that it was going to be a 20,000-person event, and while no official numbers were released, nobody that went to the AwesomeCon show in Indianapolis says that there was over four digits worth of people there.
Yeah, a friend of mine was there, and she told me that there was only about 2,000 people as far as she could tell, but that's not an official count. That is literally her eyeballing it, but it was far below the promised 20,000.
And what perhaps was a response to that, to the low turnout, AwesomeCon Milwaukee decided to lower badge prices in an attempt to get more people to come after canceling about half of their guest roster.
To save money, I assume.
We assume, yes.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what happened. There could have been some issues with the Indianapolis show, but we don't know.
But regardless of that, half of the guests that were going to AwesomeCon Milwaukee either backed out or were canceled and the contracts were voided. Whether or not they actually got paid or whatnot is probably not known. But as of last week, on November 5th, AwesomeCon Milwaukee is officially canceled.
And we reported that pretty quickly.
Within hours
the
of that
vendors or artists video. Had been contacted.
Oh, oops.
Okay, wow. So the guys who run AwesomeCon are nice people, as far as I can tell. And they run a very successful show out on the East Coast. But what the problem is that when they came to Wisconsin, the Midwest, they really didn't prepare for the low population density, honestly, out here. Because when you run a show on the East Coast, there is just solid people everywhere.
You can drive from New York to Philly in about 3 hours.
Right.
I mean, everything is so close together that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really a different world when you come out here to the Midwest. It's even more different when you go out west, like further west, like to Denver. But everything's regional.
Right.
And there were other shows going on in the Midwest during AwesomeCon Indianapolis. There's actually a big, the Feast of the Horn was taking place in Lafayette, here where I live, which is a big thing. And there were a few other things going on. And so...
Did you say Feast of the Horn?
Yes.
What kind of con is that?
It's not. It's more Renaissance-y thing. French. I don't know how to describe it. Google it.
Okay.
It's a thing. But it attracts geeky people, but it's one of those crossover groups. Like, it's the sort of people who would go to historical stuff who might also go to science fiction and anime conventions, the comic book conventions. So, you know, but it's a big deal, and it's an annual event. I think there was also a toy show somewhere else in Indiana. Like, different stuff was happening. But with the same kind of thing about to happen in Milwaukee, well, I should say Wisconsin, where DaishoCon and the Wisconsin Dells the same weekend, I think they saw the writing on the wall.
It had to have been. They had to have seen that things were not going to go well on that weekend, especially and the thing is, looking at it, I don't know what it was like in Indiana, Trey. Maybe you can better comment on that. But at least the way the attitude and the atmosphere was here in Wisconsin was that, well, hold on now. There's already an established con here this weekend. What are you guys doing?
Well, and what they did was when they did their research is they only looked at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
They they don't understand that you have to take a regional outlook when you take a look at Midwestern cons, because there's so many people who commute to like hours to conventions.
Well, we even got a little bit of people not understanding that in the comments when we first posted the Awesome Con article was they're saying, well, what I'm sure the local people for Daisho Con will still go. And I remember, I think it was you, Trey, pointing out that it was, there are no local people
for
Daisho Con.
The staff's not local.
It's in the Dells. No one lives there.
The staff is based out of Stevens Point. They still hold their organizational meetings there.
Mm-hmm. At the student center at the university. I mean, it's people
hours away.
And that's just what it is with the Wisconsin con scene, is that people plan their pretty much years, their entire year around what cons are going where, and they can say like, oh well, you know, I've got this many hours for this convention. There's always, I think there's a running joke here. There's a joke in Wisconsin that you measure distance by time.
Well, that's
where you're going.
In the Midwest.
What's that? Yeah, it's everywhere in the Midwest. It's not this place isn't this many miles away. It's that's an hour's drive from here. I mean, that's
2 hours away.
Yeah, it's 2 hours away. Yeah, it's something like that. It's not long.
Yeah, no, it's the drive-in's a half hour away from me.
Or yeah, Daishogun's not that far. It's 2 hours away from us. We're gonna obviously go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad that AwesomeCon had to cancel here. To cancel the show.
It would be nice to bring another multi-genre show to the Milwaukee area, and
with the guests too that they were going to bring. I mean, like it's good to see those high-profile guests.
Be at Wizard World, Wisconsin, and Madison in a few months.
Is true.
Mm. Of course, who knows what's going to happen there?
Well, they did pretty well in Minneapolis this year.
Well, right, so they've done pretty well in Minneapolis, but that's Minneapolis. You know, it's
another
Madison.
World.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe they're looking at it as a regional outlook, that they're looking at Milwaukee's only an hour and 15 away. Because, again, we measure in
distance.
Time.
Right. Time.
But it's one of those situations where I have no idea if it's going to do well or not. It's got the Wizard World name, and historically those have done well. The biggest con in the Midwest is Chicago's Wizard World.
Right.
But who knows?
When is Wizard World Chicago?
Up in the air.
Isn't that like the same weekend as Anime Milwaukee?
It's a few weeks off.
Okay.
Well, I know the Wizard World Madison one is at the end of January. Anime Milwaukee is weekend of Valentine's Day. But I mean, is there enough of a space between Wizard World? Obviously, they think there is between Wizard World Madison and Wizard World Chicago.
Well, this is why. Okay, so this is why I'm all sad. Awesome Con Milwaukee got canceled, because it brings it is a different genre than the anime cons, and does attract a partially different crowd. And so, by adding these multi-genre shows to the schedule, we open it up to more people who might not otherwise go to an anime con. But
I would say, yeah, because like that's one of those weird things about Wisconsin, is that for a lot of our cons, and it just seems to be an everything con. Like, our anime cons are just assumed as general nerddom cons. But
and that's what they've become, too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
right,
good.
But it's because, okay, so there was a whole bunch of conventions in the 90s that, like, ended and canceled. And so the populations aged out, and then the anime cons stepped in the early 2000s to mid-2000s and kind of came in and filled that void. But because those are the only cons being started, they became multi-genre cons, just like science fiction cons were the multi-genre cons before that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So. But the thing is, though, is because anime's in the name, even though that, like, say, like, No Brand Con or Daisho Con has a massive gaming and video gaming component, and people under a certain age are familiar with the fact that anime cons will be big on that, people above a certain age don't make that assumption. So it's like people who are my age and older, because I'm on that cusp between the anime con and old. I was the young guy at the sci-fi cons, and I'm the old guy at the anime cons. those people who are older than me don't make the assumption that these are big gaming events.
Well, it was even interesting, just a couple, the weekend before this one, Raina and I were doing some sales at a, we had an art booth over at this gaming event, and it was just tabletop gaming, and it was just a totally different world from what I'm used to. Like,
yeah,
I mean that in mostly a good way, but yeah, there were a lot, most of the people there were a lot older. They were honestly a lot quieter. There was, I mean, just the entire culture was completely different. So, no, like, what, yeah. All that makes sense.
Yeah, not for sure, but, yeah. Good, fun times in the Midwest con scene.
Not sure if there's much. I'm a little, I mean, I agree. It's kind of sad that AwesomeCon didn't do the research and this happened, because it might have been really nice to have something else.
Oh, I would have gone.
Well, I would have gone. That's what happened in Indianapolis, too. So, okay, the AwesomeCon guys in Indianapolis, their reach out, their outreach to local groups wasn't that great. So they talked to the local groups and offering them tables and things like that, but they didn't really work with them. Like, they didn't ask for support or help, and so there was less incentive for those local groups to really kind of network and get the word out for them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's. I think that AwesomeCon walked into the Midwest thinking that they were going to be able to run a large, like, you know, five-digit con, and but they didn't really. What they should have done is run gone for a scaled back first year to really gauge interest in the area. Indianapolis is especially challenging because that's a city that literally has like the two new cons this year that were fairly sizable. With Indianapolis Comic Con and Indy Pop Con, which those did five-digit numbers in the spring. But Indianapolis Comic Con did the biggest because there had been nothing, and everyone skewed their expectations. Because the only thing in Indy, I mean, Indy obviously has Gen Con, which is like 50,000 people. But the locally run stuff, like, so Indianapolis Comic Con bringing the Comic Con atmosphere got all this hype and local news coverage and all this stuff, and it hit 15,000 in its first year. But by Indie PopCon, which was a more independent run, like really kind of nonprofit group, ran it, really nice guys. I met them at a couple shows. And those guys only did, I think they did around 10,000. Don't quote me on this because I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm just kind of trying to remember. But like those, their show, by the time we got to their show, they did a lot fewer than they expected because they skewed their expectations with the Indianapolis Comic Con numbers. But those two shows already happened this year. Then you had Gen Con in August. And then so when AwesomeCon Indy came around, even though it was, you know, in October and at the later end of the year. Oh, by the way, and Wizard World Indianapolis is going to happen next year, too. So.
That's oh my golly!
More, I think that there is a little exhaustion with the big shows, and I think it even hurt the smaller shows. Like In Conjunction saw a drop in their numbers, which is a kind of traditional science fiction convention for people in the Midwest. Think the Minneapolis MarsCon for the kind of size and tone and age.
Ouch.
But no, it's they were good, fun people. I did that show. Make no money, but had a lot of fun. like their numbers were down and their sales were down in their vendor room this year because they had happened after these two larger cons just had kind of come through. So I think it's a thing.
No longer a thing though is AwesomeCon Milwaukee.
Right. Well, you don't know. Yep. They might try it again, but I doubt.
No, I'm sure they'll come back. We hope they do.
AwesomeCon DC is so successful.
Yeah.
They give it another shot. They're going to have to rework a lot, though, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
Absolutely.
Should we move on to something kind of silly?
Should indeed. Go for it, Nick.
So, Star Wars Episode 7. We keep getting goofy looks at the set and questions of like how much of these are going to be practical effects and how horribly destroyed is Harrison Ford's foot, but now we finally have something new. That's right, we have the title, Star Wars Episode 7: The Force Awakens.
say what?
So for six movies, it was asleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, we don't know what happened after Jedi.
Yeah, it might have taken a nap.
That's true. You might just be zonked out from all that Sith Lord crap.
Tie fighter and drifted throughout space. That's how he grew here.
Excuse me, sir. Luke Skywalker doesn't fly Tie fighters.
Oh, great! It's this guy. Hi.
The very wrong, sir. I'm writing an angry letter.
I thought I meant to say X-wing, but I'm going to say
said Tie fighter.
You said Tie fighter.
You said Tie fighter. You don't edit things I say. We're not editing you, Trey.
he flies a TIE fighter now. That's a major spoiler for episode 7.
Yeah.
I'm just going with it at this point.
Yeah, there's Obi-Wan looking Luke. He's driving around in his TIE fighter and, oh man, things are going to get dark in this
Kenobi.
One. And he's going to have a really bitchin' beard too. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
it's going to be bigger than Empire.
Has awesome facial hair now.
It's going to be...
Oh, dear Lord. Is it a beard of sorrow is the real question.
I don't know. I mean, he looks happy. And like
with the video, there's actually a massive delay with my audio, so I look like I'm being dubbed by someone poorly in the video.
Oh, yeah. I've
because for
that,
some reason, like there's this now massive delay on my audio in the recording by like a second and a half.
It's more than that on my end. I'm having a hard time watching it. Yeah, Trey has
You guys are...
Which, Nick, as we know, is just punching people in the dick.
Yeah, that's pretty much that is the secret kung fu. You just spoiled the secret for.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I don't know what is it with movie subtitles and just being incredibly dumb this year. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, and now Star Wars Episode 7: The Force Awakens.
I just hope
the Force showers.
To be fair, back when the prequel movies that still don't exist, when those came out, we were given incorrect subtitles as well.
I kind of wish we would have gotten an incorrect subtitle because Attack of the Clones is a dumb movie title. It is.
Yeah, that's arguably the best prequel.
Yeah, okay, I can see that argument.
Yeah, no, it was well enough. But good for Star Wars and J.J. Abrams that we have
it's still a thing, I guess.
So we've got
the
a name.
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens.
And your lightsaber is your morning wood. I'm sorry, that was awful and not even funny. Yet, I can't help but laugh at it because I'm mentally 12.
Apparently. Good God, man. Make things weird.
It didn't need to go that way.
I'm very good at making things weird for...
Well, you know, we made things weird. Why don't we make things sad?
Uh-oh. Do I hear the song? Is it coming? DC Carnival of Sadness.
Oh, here we are, folks.
DC Carnival of Sadness, folks. Yay! All right. So, to start things off, in my badly dubbed manner for the video people, and I'm really sorry about that.
And because, of course, we have to start at the DC Carnival of Sadness here at this particular point.
Arguably, you can't start it anywhere else, apparently.
No.
Yeah, no. So, okay, so we all know that Batman v Superman... Dawn of Justifying Long Titles to the Warner Brothers shareholders is coming soon or whenever. But it's going to, of course, feature Batman because he's in the title and gets first billing in Superman's sequel.
Because, of course, he does.
Of course.
Why wouldn't he? He's Batman.
But. So. Now, the whole great thing we thought about getting an established Batman in Batman v Superman is that we wouldn't have to go through the origins of Batman. We wouldn't need to get an origin story. Everybody knows who Batman is.
And how Batman
Your
got there.
Your grandma knows who Batman is. Your
right.
grandma.
Because you know what the Adam West series never did?
A flashback
the
of
death
Thomas
of Tom
Marth-
and Martha Wayne. Well, you know... apparently that is something we can't avoid, though, for Batman v Superman, as a theater on, like, the set leaked set photos have shown a theater being set up for The Mark of Zorro, which is, of course, the film the Waynes went and saw when they got shot killed. And stupidly walked into an alley called Crime Alley.
That was not Thomas Wayne's best move.
No, no.
He had a doctorate.
You know what you're getting into a place like that. Like, if I go to the hot dog house, I know I'm getting hot dogs. Like, that's just... If I go down Crime Alley, I'm probably going to get mugged.
But so...
less fun than hot dogs.
They've been seen with what's pretty certain is that we're going to get the death of Tom and Martha Wayne in Batman v Superman. Now, I'm hoping it's in a montage. Like, maybe a credits montage. Because you still need to, like, put together the whole set for that.
Yeah, well, yeah, if we're lucky, maybe we'll get a opening credits montage like in Watchmen. I just compared Watchmen favorably.
Well, okay,
there are lots of things wrong with Watchmen, but that opening credits are great.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I was just about to say, Nick, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Zack Snyder signature. We're going to see a flash of a gun, and we're going to see pearls falling down, and it's going to be in
pearls
slow
on
motion.
The ground, man!
And Martha and little Bruce Wayne is going to be like, no.
Yeah, you know, as long as it's not as needlessly drawn out and going on for what feels like forever, like a certain hit TV show on Fox decided to do.
Has anybody noticed that Detective Gordon and Bruce Wayne hang out an awful lot? Like,
yeah, I
it's a little weird. I don't know.
Every week, it's like, hey, it's like, Harvey, what's going on? We've got some serious murders, Jim. Okay, I'm going to go talk to the 8-year-old about this. He knows what's up.
Okay, can I say my problem with Gotham is that this Batman is going to have the oldest rogues gallery ever.
Oh, right? My God, yes.
Harvey Dent is showing up next episode as a lawyer. Has already gone through law school and is a lawyer.
And they're going to do it in the least subtle way ever. They're going to be like, oh, Harvey, you sure are two-faced.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
they're all going to look at the camera.
With the inclusion of Victor Saz.
Well, you got Zach.
Version of Victor Saz.
What? See, I gave up on that show after, like, three episodes. And then I watched the
Victor
Black
Saz
Mask
was introduced as a hitman working for Falcone.
What?
Which the only time he's ever been that is in like a shot in Batman Begins during Zsasz's trial.
Well, now, what about that?
Victor
that great
Zsasz is the creepy ass. Like, if you ever read Shadow of the Bat 1-4,
yeah.
The last Arkham story, he's the creepiest character. The writing in that story is so good. That, it, like, when I read those Batman comics as a kid, it actually, like, legitimately creeped me out. Like, it was a very good serial killer story. So, it, like, this whole people ruining Victor Saz in adaptations is pissing me off.
Well, how about the Riddler, who is, like, the least subtle, I'm going to be the Riddler ever. He should really just wear a t-shirt while he's at work that says, I'm going to be the Riddler. Just every episode from here on.
Yeah, no,
he's
like at a crime scene.
Because that's where...
And he said, you know, it's, why doesn't an elephant wear shoes?
Shut the hell up, Edward.
Shut the hell up, Nygma. And that's bold.
You all saw the Penny Arcade comic about that, right?
Montoya is older than fucking Jim Gordon.
Well, do you guys know why... Sorry.
No, it's just...
Well, you guys know why Selina Kyle is older than Bruce, right?
Yeah, I noticed
that
in this show, too.
So that she can be a cougar. Don't kill me.
But except she's actually aged right, where that character's 13, Bruce Wayne's like 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as an adult, they are relatively contemporaries.
But yeah, Batman is going to be beating up people much older than him. At the time he gets Batman.
Well, Poison Ivy's like the only other one who's the right age.
But,
Penguin is supposed to be like the oldest villain he fights, so Cobblepot being an adult makes sense. But like, Harvey?
But Trey, if she's not a kid now, then when he grows up to be Batman, she won't be hot. Come on, you have to have your priorities right. Let's get your... Think like a Fox executive.
No, because Batman will only ever be in his 20s in this universe because we can't get him a Robin.
That's
Robins
true.
On screen just don't happen. Unless, actually, in Batman v Superman, they will. But still.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry to take us down the Gotham alleyway. That show's just driving me up the... I watched, like, three episodes, and I'm done. I can't.
I still watch it. I watch it every episode, but it's mostly because Donald Logue as Harvey Bullock is deeply entertaining to me.
No, he is really... The casting is not the problem. The fact that
actually,
I
really like Cobblepot.
No, he's really good, too. I even like Jim Gordon. It's just that I feel like the writers don't know where they're going with this. I think it's just, we're doing before Batman. What are we going to do before Batman? Before
Everyone
Batman!
From Batman.
Anyways. No! We're going to get. We're gonna see Martha Wayne and Martha and... Yeah,
guys,
they're going to die again.
The pearls
I have
on the
seven
ground.
Different DVDs in the room with me right now that have Thomas and Martha Wayne dying on them. I don't need to... Just think about that. I have seven
they're the most
different
the world's worst
DVDs.
Snuff film.
They're, like, can you imagine, like, just... There are so many characters in history... And all of, like, comicdom, but we get to see them die the most out of any character, I think, in any film, in, like, film or comic book history. It's ridiculous.
With Uncle Ben is a close second.
Yeah, Uncle Ben's a close second, but I think, I'm pretty sure Thomas and Martha Wayne have died more on screen or on page than any other character in the history of media.
Well, at least, like, Jor-El and Lara-El, like, at least... Hey, like, you don't usually see them exploding. Like, it's just, oh, he came from Krypton. Like, but no, we're going to see Thomas and Martha Wayne. I bet we're going to see them die a couple more times, maybe even before this decade is out.
We're going to get it again in the standalone Batman movie. You just
yeah,
wait.
Of course.
We're going to get a flashback.
Yeah. It's never ending.
No, it doesn't end. Anyway. But,
let's move forward.
Yeah, no, speaking of DC, of course, one of the movies that is sort of a surprise for all of us, to see, going to be coming out in DC's slate of movies here within the next few years is that Suicide Squad is going to be coming out. And, we have our Harlequin, allegedly. Margot Robbie, an Australian actress, is reportedly
is
in...
Is it not pronounced Margot?
I think it's pronounced Margot.
Margot Robbie.
sorry.
Well, no, it's actually really quite hard because there are Margots who pronounce the T.
That's true.
So we have no idea what the pronunciation is.
We might
Margot
be wrong.
Or
She's
going to
write us.
Correct.
She will. She listens to our show, I'm sure.
If
but,
you know how to pronounce her first name, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form and tell us.
This is going to be like that.
Make sure
of the
you actually spell the pronunciation
name.
And don't just write it's pronounced Margot and M-A-R-G-O-T.
But Miss Robbie's going to is in talks to play Harley Quinzel in the Suicide Squad movie. So not bad. She doesn't have a huge acting resume. She was in the TV series Pan Am back in 2012. Notably, her big breakout role was Naomi in The Wolf of Wall Street with Leonardo DiCaprio. She did pretty well there. But she's got a few other things coming out soon. She did well in The Wolf on Wall Street, and she honestly looks like she'd do well as Harley Quinzel. But it's a little bit of a shock that I think that they've cast Harley without casting the Joker at the same time.
Well, there have been rumors about a Joker, too. I guess
Jared Leto is the rumored Joker.
I'm more. I guess for me,
because
it's just like
speculating on the Joker is the new speculating on Doctor Strange.
Yep.
I don't know. Like for me, the Suicide Squad. My definitive Suicide Squad people are Deadshot and Captain Boomerang. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of more excited.
Well, I think
to hear
those
about
are people
that.
Who they're looking for too.
I mean, well, and yeah, I know that. It's just, it would be, like, if they go by the New 52 comics, are they going to include the whole weird, like, love triangle, or maybe more of a lust triangle thing between the Joker, Deadshot, and Harley? Are they gonna, like, because you don't have Harley and Joker as established characters before now in this universe, so are they just going to assume we know that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
My head hurts. Never mind. I'm not huge in Suicide Squad, but recently I've just been, like, for some reason I keep encountering them. Like, I got through the Suicide Squad episode in Justice League Unlimited the other day. Not that long ago, the Assault on Arkham movie came out. There was that episode on Arrow last season. So I'm more and more fond of this concept, and I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. I guess, like, if they're announcing her because it's going to be, okay, this is our female-led DC movie, okay, that's cool, but I just don't know.
Well, I'm just shocked that Suicide Squad is getting its own movie. That's really shocking to me.
I'm like, not shocked by that.
The biggest movie of 2014 was about a ragtag group of outlaws saving the universe.
My bigger worry with Suicide Squad is that a lot of their appeal in the comics, cartoons, and other things is that these are pre-established villains being forced to be anti-heroes, and for a lot of the audience, this is going to be their first exposure to these characters will be as anti-heroes. So I guess that key part of the appeal won't be there, but I don't know.
We shall see. We got a couple of years. shocking twist. Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be the Joker.
That's not true, folks at home. Please don't take that seriously, because it's believable enough for someone might.
This is going to be that anime... This is going to be that Anime Insider gag article about live-action Evangelion cast, and people are going to go on a witch hunt for Benedict Cumberbatch, just like they did about Daniel Radcliffe Shinji. You know, that thing that never was going to happen.
I know it would be whitewashing, but Harry Potter and Shinji are really the same guy. Really think about it, like, especially around, like, the fifth book.
Yeah. I can kind of see that.
The robot.
I'm just glad Harry never did anything terrible over the bodies of comatose girls that I can remember right now. Don't remind me if it happened.
Clearly.
This is fan fiction.
You haven't read some of the fanfic that one person I met on OkCupid wrote.
So... But that's our trip to the DC Carnival of Sadness this fortnight. Let's not go back there again, please. Anyways, what else do we got for us this fortnight?
Next up on the docket, we do have something that's kind of legit sadness. That's very new news. Just this yesterday, actually, the prolific, to say the least, TV show writer, creator, and producer Glenn A. Larson passed away from cancer. And wow, if the name doesn't ring a bell, he's responsible for quite a few genre shows. He was the creator of Knight Rider, along with the original Battlestar Galactica. And he was
both staples
key in
my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, this guy
and
ruled.
Magnum P.I.
Like, yeah, Magnum P.I. He worked on that. He also was very involved in the anti-classic Manimal and Buck Rogers in
That's
the 25th.
Remade.
Yeah, I know. But aren't they doing it as a comedy? And
Yes. Because it kind of was the first time, not on purpose.
Not on purpose. That's why it's an anti-classic. It's...
Next, they're going to make Super Train. Look that up. If you don't know what
Super
Train is,
even had some involvement in the creation of Alias.
Go look it up.
Yeah, dude. Also, look up Turbo Teen. That was a cartoon, but it was terrifying. I don't know. I don't think Glenn A. Larson was involved in Supertrain. Or
Who wasn't involved in that show?
Wasn't that whole thing was if, when he gets
the show
too
that
hot?
Destroyed NBC.
Turbo Teen?
No, Supertrain.
Oh.
Look up Supertrain. It's amazing.
I'll look up Supertrain after the show.
Glenn
Larson has this
is a disaster.
Incroyable.
I'm gonna try to remember Glenn A. Larson over here with some semblance of dignity. That's all I'm gonna get. I don't know. Like I said on the site, it's hard not to respect the man. He created a lot of these classic shows. He was an advisor on the Galactica reboot, which I'm going to read as he heard that it was happening and said it was A-okay. But apparently he was supposed to be one of the producers. Yeah, he signed off on it. He was apparently supposed to be one of the producers on the second Battlestar Galactica reboot that they're doing for some reason. It's still sad that he's gone. I don't know. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Like, just a general rest in peace, Mr. Larson, because you had a pretty awesome effect on entertainment, even if some of it was completely insane and kind of bad. Manimal.
Oh, that's sad that he's passed, but hopefully he's in a better place.
Is literally manimal length. Manimal.
So guys, we're 6 days away from something kind of, or 5 days away from being together in person.
Yay!
Like together as a group.
Put the team back together.
Teams back together. Of course, we're all going to be at DaishoCon in the Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari next weekend, starting on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. DaishoCon's always a lot of fun every year. There's too much to do there. Too much to do in a weekend, but we are going to be there. Specifically, as a group, we are going to be doing a live show of Nerd and Ty on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Now, things are going to be a little bit different because I'm going to be hungover as all get out. Now, as you may know listening to this podcast right now, we would not be normally doing a show next week, and if it were not for DaishoCon, as such, that's going to kind of put a wrench in things because we typically like our fortnight to build up news stories and talk about things that have happened within 2 weeks. We only have a week
especially for that. Especially since the episode after that is the Thanksgiving week show, so we're already dealing with like only a week and a half really of information to pump into a show to start with.
It is. So we are depending on you. We'll talk to more about what we're each doing individually in a moment, but we, the hosts of Nerd and Ty, are depending on you, the listeners of Nerd and Ty, to provide us content within the next week. It can be about anything. Write to us at nerdandty.com. Let us know what's on your mind. Ask us questions. Really, come up with anything, and we will talk about it for the hour-long panel that we have next week at DaishoCon.
Yeah, that's right. It's our visitor and listener reader feedback special because we have all of those now. You special, audience special, write to us. We want to literally like just spend the entire episode responding to you guys. So if you can be there,
there's enough
person,
of you now that we can that do that. How cool awesome. Is that?
Right? I know. Yeah.
And if you can be there in person, you can talk to us directly during the show. We will open it up for questions during the show. If you can't be there in person, write to us.
We'll answer your questions.
Send us your letters,
we want to hear
us
from
you. Questions.
We have an entire hour.
What you think?
We have an entire hour next week. We're not going to really cover any major news stories unless something big were to happen, like if Superman v. Batman: Dawn of Justice caught on fire and burned to the ground.
All of
then
it.
We're
just
gonna
the
talk
whole
about
film.
This. The whole thing just on fire.
Everyone and everything, spontaneous combustion everywhere.
Otherwise, it's going to be all on you guys. But let's. That's at 9 o'clock in the morning, 1 week from today on Sunday, November 23rd. Trey, what are you going to be doing at DaishoCon?
That's it.
Oh,
I will
are
also
you selling?
Be in the artist alley okay. all weekend. But that's my only panel this year.
Very cool.
Because I didn't feel like doing any of my solo panels, and then, yeah.
So, and we had you on the talk show last year.
Live. And, yeah. And I'll be in the Artist Alley all weekend, so you can talk to me, hang out, poke me with sticks, look at my comics. It'll be awesome.
It'll be neat. Nick, what are you doing?
I'm doing pretty much the same stuff you're doing with the Otaku Tonight team. I don't have any solo projects. Well, I take that back. I was going to say,
is that like the first con in forever that you're not doing other things?
This literally is the first con. I'm not officially doing anything for the con. I am going to instead be taking time to hang out with some old friends of mine, including the our friend of the show, Archimize, along with the super festive GS Force cosplay. And I'm going to be working with them on some things for the Nikizumi Show channel. So, yeah.
Is that something anybody can stop in and see?
Probably not. That's just going to be me recording stuff. I just want to hype things up because hype is good. And all of you people who have been... all of you people who have been... not complaining, but all of you people who have been campaigning with the Nikizumi page that you want to hear Archimize and I talk about Gundam Build Fighters, you might be in luck. Just saying. I know, super exciting. But I will be joining Professor Fur for all of those exciting Otaku Tonight panels that I don't remember the order they're in, but...
Well, maybe we should talk. I'll talk about that.
Why don't we talk about them?
We are kicking things off on Friday night with One Night Stand-Up, which is, of course, the Otaku Tonight Productions stand-up comedy showcase. Nick and myself and four other very, very funny people will be telling jokes. It'll be an 18-plus event, and that's at 10 p.m. Friday night. Be there with your ID to get in. It's going to be a good time. It was a good time last year. It's always good for a few laughs. So be there for that. We're also doing. We're also starting Saturday off early with Match Game on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. If you show up, we're reformatting a little bit so more people have a chance to get to the grand prize round. Which some good prizes here from Fandalmonium and Anime Club are providing the grand prizes this year, which is very cool of them. Then at 3:30 on Saturday, Nick, Brandon K, and myself will be riffing The Guy with the Secret Kung Fu.
Again, everybody, if you're there, please show up to this because it's so stonking funny.
It's like Nick said earlier before the show, I think it was recording. Even if we weren't riffing it, it's an incredibly entertaining kung fu movie made in the 80s. We're pretty sure it was a bunch of different things spliced together, but we can't really prove that. it's gonna be good.
One of the coolest bad movies ever. I swear.
Like it's a lot of amazingly choreographed fight scenes and like the best music in any kung fu movie ever.
Easily the best dub ever recorded. Like me,
brilliant,
hands down.
But then at 8 o'clock, of course, we have the talk show itself, Otaku Tonight, with special guest appearances by Counter Gank, a punk band out of Stevens Point. And international cosplay superstar Nick Vander is going to be there. Detailed Illusion cosplay. He's going to be stopping by.
I've seen in one of the episodes of Heroes of Cosplay.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that. It's going to be a lot of fun. He won in that episode of Heroes of Cosplay, which is very cool.
He's Canadian.
He is. So I'll have to make sure that I confirm that he exists and is real. And then we're closing things out for Otaku Tonight. Right after the talk show with another episode of Whose Line Is It Anime with a special guest performer Vanessa Horrocks from VersenWorks Cosplay. So, should be a good weekend.
Awesome.
And then, of course, like I said earlier, at 9 a.m. sharp Sunday morning, we're all going to be gathered in a room really tired answering your questions.
I'll probably be okay.
Yeah, I'll be fine too. I'll just either have copious amounts of coffee that morning or I'll just keep drinking. We'll find out what happens.
I recommend coffee.
I also recommend the coffee.
I'm just saying.
It's a good strategy. What can I say? But no, we're excited to be at Dice Show again. We always have fun there. And It'll be a good time.
Such
and
good
we hope
time.
To see you, our listeners, there. So, shall we to mailbag?
It's a really exciting and great con, I
or,
say, with absolutely
as what
no
Trey wrote
bias.
Down in the rundown, mailbogia?
Yes. It's
mailbogia.
Mailbogia.
That's a mailbogia
coming
is a
to Spawn
joke.
I look at that. It's just like a sparrow. It's going straight over my head. Okay.
It's
all right. So we got one letter in the mailbag this week from Chris Graham. He has no subject. He just says, "Hi, nerd, Ty, and." Every popular film franchise that runs long enough eventually has some sort of reboot to change out actors and shift the tone or style into new territory. Do you think the Marvel Cinematic Universe will eventually have to deal with starting over from scratch? They seem to realize they can't just keep pumping out Iron Man sequels forever and trying to are trying to establish lesser-known characters. But will that be enough to keep people interested?
I have a question.
Okay, Chris.
I don't think they would reboot it. I don't think they will.
Yeah, no. It would just be a different thing. It's if they rebooted it, it wouldn't be the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It would be the new Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that would not happen, I wouldn't think, for a very long time into the future. I mean, I'm talking
yeah,
like 2030s, 2040s.
Yeah, I think they've set this up where they can cycle in new characters. And I think maybe, you know, I mean, obviously we've seen we've seen existing cast changes already happen with, you know,
right.
The Iron Man section where, you know, Rhodey suddenly got a lot thinner.
And a lot less Terrence Howard.
Yeah, it's Terrence Howard, look at
his voice going, got a lot deeper, too.
I'll be
it was
back
weird.
For you. I said, no, you won't. I think that maybe you'll see some cast changes long term, but I don't think they'd reboot it.
I think they're going to just ride this cash cow out
Universe.
Until it's not profitable anymore, as sad as that makes me. But at the same time, the fact that they are cycling in new, lesser heard of characters gives me hope for the future.
Well, it just needs to make it to 2099 when we can real time do the entire 2099 franchise. terrible.
I can see that. Some of that might work. Well, maybe, and of course the other thing is that if they're worried about running out of A-listers, maybe Marvel is also just buying time until they can finally get those X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man rights back, and then they'll have A-listers again.
Well, I just want to say, like, I immediately went to Rhodey and didn't even think to go to the Hulk.
The Hulk, who I don't even... So the Ang Lee one doesn't count, right?
I forget about
right?
Edward Norton.
Ang Lee is not included in the MCU.
But the thing
yeah,
about
no,
forgetting
Eric Bana
Edward
Norton... does not get to be the Hulk.
Everyone forgets
Norton
Edward
Hulk
Norton.
Actually financially only did as well as the Bana Hulk.
The thing is, though, everyone forgets Edward Norton partly because no one remembers that movie even happened. I don't think Marvel remembers that movie even happened half the time.
They set that thing up for a sequel.
They did. But I don't think we're going to see a movie with the leader. I really don't.
No, of course we're not. Because that would require people to remember the Edward Norton Hulk.
And nobody wanted to work with Edward Norton because he was apparently a huge dick. That was the only reason that they didn't bring him back and they brought in Mark Ruffalo was apparently Edward Norton was a huge jerk and nobody wanted to work with him.
I would like to see this. Really sad part is I'd like to see a Ruffalo Hulk movie because I really like Ruffalo. Like, holy
well,
crap.
Mark Ruffalo is excellent.
Yeah, he's just great. And the idea of him just leading a Hulk movie, especially if it was, God forbid, a good Hulk movie. I know that seems impossible, but that would be pretty amazing. Honestly, I didn't even dislike the Edward Norton Hulk movie that much. But I keep forgetting
it. I thought it was fine, but I also like the Eric Bana Hulk movie. I thought the Ang Lee Hulk was fine.
See, that's the thing, though. I actually remember the Ang Lee Hulk happening. But, like, the Edward Norton one, I keep forgetting that that's a thing. I keep having trouble remembering that that was an actual movie that took place. I looked at that short film that they included on the Thor Blu-ray, and partway through I'm like, is Coulson talking? All right, that movie. That one counts.
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad.
I don't...
That was it for mailbag.
Not even bad. It's just not memorable.
So we should. Yeah, we only had the one mailbag this week. Well, I can say week, even though it's usually fortnightly, because we're doing a show next week.
We are.
So that means it's time to move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Indeed.
Woo. Oh yeah.
All right. So the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, for those who don't know, is that every episode I read a little bit of a book. And then the challenge to you is to write in what book that I have read a section of. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And so last
glory
episode,
to those who discovered
I read a segment of the book. We did actually... Okay, so if you guess the name and the title and name of the author of the book, you get included in our Hall of Awesome. The Hall of Awesome is a venerated society of important, wonderful people who, of course, get their name read out every single episode.
If you fail, though, you're
totally
selling
your time, so I can load up that list right now. Because my internet's being annoyingly slow.
Well, that's right, though, right? I mean, if you get it right, you're remembered in the Hall of Awesome, but if you fail, you get fed to lions. Or the
yeah,
Rancor.
I think that's the rule, yeah.
That sounds
at
accurate
least
to me. You updated the website during the episode, Nick.
What? During the episode?
Yeah.
I posted the Glenn A. Larson thing. Did it just not take
you updated that during the episode.
Did I update it during the episode? I don't remember doing this.
Oh, yeah. But we have a new person. Adding them in. And
right, no, but I have to read out the existing Hall of Awesome before we get to that, which I now have up.
Those who have not been fed to the Rancor.
So, these are the people who have successfully guessed books in the past. Archimize, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery Deese, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Core Fan, and Capido. Now, last episode I read a book which has been correctly guessed.
By our mailbag
by
person,
Chris
actually.
Graham, who
Skullduggery. Wrote in the mailbag.
And, of course, that was The Cunning of Unreason by John Donne.
Good job,
exciting.
Chris.
Exciting.
You're in the Hall of Awesome, buddy.
Science degrees. So your name will be added as soon as I get around to it. Tonight. It will be added tonight.
Glory to you and your family.
I have to read out a new section of a book, which I will be doing now. It's very exciting. It's very enticing.
Oh, yeah.
It's very wonderful. And it will make you have to try to figure out what book I'm reading from.
Which is?
So here we go. But that didn't stop her from wishing she could. It didn't stop her stomach from tingling when she heard his low voice. Didn't stop her heart from skipping when she felt herself caught in his intense silver gray gaze. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the contact form, and tell us, and give us the title and author, and you too will be included in the Hall of Awesome.
Is that your Ranma One Half fan fiction?
No.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure. But if you want to write anything to us, also click on the contact form at nerdandtie.com. Let us know and write us stuff for next week for our live episode of Dice Show Con, where we will see all of you lovely folks. As always, I'm Firsters.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And they're both what they just said they were. We'll see you all at Dice Show Con next week, everybody. Have a wonderful week.
Keep on sparking in the free world.
Woohoo!
All right, let's get